And essentially, there's a prayer of faith and a prayer not of faith. And under the prayer of faith, there are all kinds of reasons people pray. There's a prayer of imitation. Remember, we talked about that. There's a prayer of desperation. There's a prayer of copycat. Okay, that's imitation. There's a prayer of habit. All right? So all those kinds of prayers are the ones James grouped together and said they are prayers not of faith. Now, you understand what I mean by that, all right? So when he said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, what he was saying is this. If people pray because they believe that God is, are you getting my point? Then that prayer will have an answer. That's what he was saying, simple. But when we make prayers, not because we know that God is, but the prayers are made because of other reasons like habit. You get my point? Other reasons like habit is just a force of habit. This is what I do every day. I've been doing this since I was 6 years old. I'm not praying now because I actually expect an answer, but because it's just a habit. That's not the prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith? The prayer of faith is the one that's stimulated by the fact that I know that this is where the answer comes from. Do you understand the logic there? So he says, so what is the praise of God? Hebrews here, we read that he said, who that comes to God must believe that he is, using the words now, all right, of Moses. He is the solution to the problem at hand. If we don't recognize that, then we are not praying out of faith. Are you getting my point? Therefore, we get no results. So what is praise? Praise is knowing the name of God and bragging on that name or calling him by that name in the time of prayer. That is what praise is. And listen, like we said earlier, God knows about everything. He prepared a solution for everything. Look, a lot of people think God does not know physics. Do you know that? It's unconscious. You've been to school, you've tried. When you see dy dx, and then you see e, you know, 1 sigma this, epsilon that, raised to power this, square root of that. You say, God, wait, this one are mathematics. You know, this will not be scripture. A lot of us think that God only has a degree in theology. So when somebody's quoting scripture again and again, say, man, that guy has an anointing. Listen, there's an anointing for decoding what Albert Einstein could not decode all his life. You know that? Yes. That is, the Lord was to sit you down, walk into your classroom, will sit you down and say, what's the problem? He says, is this integral calculus problem, sir? It's all right. Which part don't you understand? The Lord Jesus knows physics. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It sounds simple, but a lot of people don't realize. They never thought about it. He knows accounting. He does. If you're a businessman, you need to pray. Lord, you know, there's unique accounting for every business. There is. You know, the other day, I think I mentioned when AIG lost 30-something billion dollars in 3 months. All right? Insurance company, biggest financial institution in the world, at least, something like that. And Richard Quest was analyzing it, that their derivatives and this and that, the financial institution has become so complicated that the people, that was Goldman Sachs analysis, that the people did not know, the managers could not decipher what was going on. According to Richard Quest, he said they did not know what they were doing. If you're in the midst of that, you should have prayed. That's what I'm coming to. That's what I'm bringing up to speed. I'm trying to bring it to our hearts. That is, if you're in the midst of that, God understands all the intricacies. There are different kinds of miracles. Christians, human beings, not Christians now, human beings generally expect the miracle that's miraculous. You understand my point? Yeah, there are miracles that are miraculous. They are very miraculous. That's what we expect a lot of times. As we're just looking there, suddenly somebody just announced that a new vein of gold has been discovered in Arizona. America is now mining a lot of gold, so the financial problem will just disappear. That's possible. But there's another one which doesn't come so strikingly miraculous. You are confused. You are lost in the maze of accounting, you know, troubles you have put yourself in. God can help pull you out of that by just explaining to you, look at this, look at this, look at that, look at this. What am I saying? It's God that understands accounting, no matter how difficult it is. Why am I saying it like this? Because people don't pray about such things because they think God does not know accounting. They think he only knows how to provide supernatural money. Are you getting my point? Praise God. As I was sitting this morning, my grandfather just called and said, I'm going to die next week and I'm leaving you $1 million. Say, praise the Lord. Is he dead yet? He says, tomorrow he's planning to die.
Isn't the Lord good?
No, you see, that's the kind of miracle we often are expecting. Are you getting my point? How many businessmen have taken their books, laid them down, and said, Lord, we need to balance this? He that comes to God must believe that he knows how to balance books. I don't know whether you're catching what I'm saying. He that comes to God must believe that he knows how to arrange financing for my business. He that comes to God must believe that he knows how to help me please my wife and my children. Are you getting my point? That's the praise of God. Praise is not just songs. You can sing songs of praise. You can sing God's praises, all right, in songs, most certainly. But what is praise is recognizing the name of God and calling him by that name. You are praying about the nation. You know, people, you know, the prayer of faith. There's another one, the prayer of anger. This oppression is enough. Southern Christians will now pray against the North. That's not prayer. That's madness. Yes, if you ever join that, it's crazy. It's rubbish. God is not in Southern. Are we going to understand that? God is not from the South. He's not from Southern Nigeria. He's not from South. No matter how much crude oil and natural gas you have, God is not from there. Neither is he from the North. That's physical Northern Nigeria. Are you getting my point? God is bigger than all of those things. Like, I like the way Jackie Paul said it. He said, God is not Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's not even an American. I said, praise God. From an American, this is strange. And Americans talk as if God is an American. Some of those are big white, you know, Jewish prophets. You think America, God is half from America. His mother is from Israel. Yeah, that's the way we talk. Now, you get my point? No, so there's prayer of anger. That's what I'm talking about. Some people are so angry. How could they kill coppers? How could they kill coppers? Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, fire on the whole place. Because I know they will. Because you are firing those who are not even responsible for the crisis. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, I'm bringing an issue. Very few people really realize, listen to this, that God has an agenda that is executing in this nation, Nigeria. That's what I'm trying to bring out. Very few people. Very few people. A lot of our prayers, I prayed out of anger. I was in a church once and a preacher was saying that there's no nation called Nigeria. I couldn't believe it. You can hold that opinion. Nothing wrong with that. It's a personal opinion. You see, when you mount this pulpit, once you hold microphone and responsible men and women are sitting down, they left everything else they had to do to come and listen to you. Don't be fooled to think that it's because you are so handsome, they've never seen a human being like you. They came to admire your face. So when that guy does the talk, my body will just do jiggy jiggy like railway. Now, wow. So they leave. A lot of people think like that. Listen, you know the truth? They came to hear the counsel of God. You know the truth? They came to hear what thus says the Lord is. Therefore, as a preacher, forget your anger. If you are angry with somebody, leave it at home. I advise preachers, don't preach messages that are based upon what happened to you and you are reacting to. You get my point? Your wife is annoying you, so you come and talk about submission in women. Your children are unruly. Your message for today, honor thy father and thy mother. That's so you they vex. They don't pay you on time. Praise the Lord. Woe to him that holds the wages of. You are angry. Leave your personal opinion and your personal troubles at home. Are you getting my point? Leave them at home. As a preacher, your job is to pray, all right, that God, there is a message you have for the people that are coming today. What is it? Let me speak only your will and not. Do you get my point? So when people come and say, there's no country like Nigeria because you are angry. You've read newspapers. You've read all this. You know, there are these sectarian papers all over the place pumping the agenda of every group of people. You've read it and that's now formed your opinion when you mount the pulpit. It's not right. It's not right. We should know that God is. So if we're going to pray, that's what I'm talking about. He that comes to God must believe that he is the God that holds the affairs of the nation in his hands. Are you getting my point? He holds the affairs of the nation in his hands. You must know that this country is too small for God not to be able to handle. If he can handle India, what about Nigeria? You know God can handle India. He can handle China. And you're talking about 1 billion Hindus. Any God that can handle 1 billion Hindus can handle 150 million Christians and Muslims. Are you getting my point? He's the God of China. Did I hear an amen? 1 point something billion people is still their God. If they annoy him, you saw what tsunami did in Japan. I don't know what they did, though, but I said, God vex. They all kicked the sea like this. That's it. Trouble. The point I'm making is that God is in charge, all right? This life, the nations of the earth, they're in his hands. He has plans, he has agendas, he has seasons to manifest his glory in different areas. He does. That's it. Recognizing that is the praise of God. That's what I'm trying to explain. And he that comes to God must believe he is. Before you can pray for any nation on the earth, you first must get this point. You first must get this point. If you can't, you are not coming by faith. If you don't get that point, you are not coming by faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is. Before you can pray for good luck, Ebele, Ezekiel, Jonathan, you must believe that he is the God that holds the hearts of the kings in his hands. Are you getting my point? Before you can pray against corruption in the nation, you must believe that he is the God, the judge of the whole earth. Are you getting my point? Is the God, how do you know the character of God? Just read the scriptures. The greatest nation on the earth then, Babylon, one small boy took over from his father and began to drink from cup that his father was afraid to touch. Next thing is, mene, teke, fasting. They couldn't even read it. Simple, just four words like that. they couldn't read it. When Daniel came, he said, you have been put on a scale and you have been found wanting. That's where I'm going. God that could judge Babylon can judge any nation. Are you getting my point? Therefore, when we want to pray, we first put those things about God in mind. That's the praise of God. Praise is not just singing songs. It's recognizing the name of God. And God's name defines his character or describes his character. It tells us what he can do. And we know what he can do from what he has done before. These things, the Bible says, they were recorded for what? Our learning. That's why it's not about, praise is not bribery. So you know, when you want to get something from God, the first thing you do, you'll be praising him. As you're praising him, his head will begin to swell. As his head is swelling, he will give you anything. Hallelujah. God said, I am God, not a man. That is your idea. Forget it. It's for human beings. They are the ones that get excited. They are the ones surrounded by sycophants. You know that kind of thing? A king that's about to be destroyed. He said, what are the people saying? He said, oh God. He said, long live Gaddafi. He said, yeah, okay. He said, it's Al-Qaeda. My people love me. He said, your people love you. Okay. They will hang around you. They'll be telling you, you are the man. Hey, Babake, Ranka Dede. It shall be well with you. I know some prophets do it too. It shall be well. So head go they swell. And money go they drop. As human beings. So we not think that God is like that. The truth is that he's not. You don't praise anything out of his pocket. I hope you get my point. Just praise him. He's about to get there. Praise him more. I can see he's swelling. He's about to burst. That's unconscious in our minds. That's what we're doing. We're not really unconscious. We were taught that when you want something from God, you begin to praise him. So you start praising him concerning things that are not related to what you're praying about. You need money. You say, God that makes barren women dwell in the house of judgment and children. The God that sang the chariots of Pharaoh. The God that scattered the language at Babel. Oh, God. It's money we're talking about. Now, you're talking about Tower of Babel and language. Because, you know why? Because you think that you're whining him. The praise is not bribe. The praise is what you recognize. Are you getting my point? That's what praise. That's why we praise God. It's not about bribing him. Say, God, don't wake, never wake. Praise and I go wake up. That's for Baal. Are you getting my point? That's for Baal. Then they shout. That's not God. That's not our God. That here, amen. You don't use praise to wake him up. He didn't fall asleep. Praise is for you. You know, God doesn't change. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Before you praise him, he was like that. When you finish praising, he's like that. When you start cursing him, for those who want to curse, he's still like that. Nothing doesn't change him. Who changes? The person who's talking. Are you getting my point? When we praise God, what we are doing is that we are recognizing ash. And you know what actually happens, all right? What is happening is that your faith, because, you know, I read Angels on Assignment. The man described revelations that angels gave him then. The angels explained that anything you look at, that's where I first heard it from, it starts expanding to fill the picture. Are you getting my point? And this is something about life. Whatever fills the picture in your heart becomes real. So that if you have problems in life and you're always focusing on those problems, all right, it starts expanding and it fills the picture. Let me give you a small marriage seminar. You're married and your husband makes you small. And all you are focusing on, can you believe he forgot my birthday? He forgot my birthday. He forgot my baby. He's always forgetting everything. That's how he forgot. Then suddenly, all you can see is this forgetful man, forgetful. Meanwhile, he's only forgotten one thing, your birthday. But you think that's the day Jesus died and rose again. So you think nobody should forget it. It's your birthday, Easter. I'm not saying the guy should forget too. I'm just trying to say that you so sit on that one, that's not a problem. Suddenly, the man say, oh no, you don't want to go away, you're only forgetting everything. Everything. He didn't forget everything. Forgot to play one thing. So what do you do? Don't focus on the one he forgot. He forgot that birthday. But at least yesterday, he remembered this. The other day, he bought me a phone. The other day, he kissed me good morning and kissed me good night and called me on the phone to kiss me on the phone. How, what a love. Then you suddenly, the one he forgot will become one important. Write that down. That's marriage seminar. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, let's get back to the angel, our story. Actually, that revelation I gave you, it's from my wife. She didn't say I forget things, but she said one day, I did something, and she called the, and she was about to start rehearsing, and she said, devil, go away, get behind me, Satan, and she cast the devil out quickly. I started remembering good things. But, you know, I'm a fine guy, come on. So many things to remember about me. So many nice things. All right? The Lord is good. So, I've learned it, all right? So, I try and remember the good side, you know. My wife is a very good mother. She's a very good wife, very dedicated, very this, very that. All the small things when she do, when not good, they will just disappear. You know, go see them again. And the word becomes flesh and dwells in your house as your wife. Are you seeing what I'm saying? All right, the Lord is good. So I hope you're writing all these married tips down. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's get back to that thing. So the angel said to that man, that pastor Buck, Roland Buck, that's his name, that anything you focus on eventually expands to fill the picture. So talking about the praise of God, when you read newspapers, when you read analysis of men who don't believe in God, newspapers are written by human beings and not by spirits. I hope you know that. Some of them are broke when they are writing. When you see editorial is one person's opinion, not a national opinion. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because some people read paper and be quoting it as if God spoke, you know, his consensus opinion, vox populi, vox dei, the voice of the people, the voice of God. All right? None of that is a lie. When you see editorial, whether it's Newsweek, Newswatch, Vanguard, Guardian, it's one man's opinion. Why am I emphasizing that? That morning, his wife could have thrown hot water on his face. So when he's writing against something in the country, he's boiling with anger. When I get back home today, then go see Pepe. And he's writing. Then you publish that crap coming out of his poisoned mind. And you will carry it and read it. And he will tell you how the nation is useless. How your future is hopeless. How you should run away into hell if you can get the visa to hell. And then you wake. And that's what is controlling your mind. And that expands and fills the picture. That's what I'm talking about. That's why you should read the Bible. That's why you should go to church. That's why you should listen to the word of God. That's why you should listen to messages.
I feel my car waiting. If I know, we're coming from Abba the other day, yesterday. Bishop followed me to Abba and Yinka. I said, okay, let's play some music. The first CD was Kenneth Hagin and Jackie Ford. That was an MP3. I said, change to the next one. Next one said, the book of Job. I said, okay, change to the next one. He said, Isaiah chapter 1. I said, change to the next one. I said, no, be my fault. We're looking for music. Because my car stereo lost 6 MP3 CDs. So I found out where I filled everywhere. It's called the principle of feet washing. Yes, it's the principle of feet washing. When you have, Jesus said you are cleansed, you are a good Christian. Then you walk around. As you walk around, dust settles on your feet. All the rubbish on the road. Boss man annoy you. You understand my point? Police vex you. Federal road say the eye for fire. Accompany you on an express road to ask for fire extinguisher. Meanwhile, a truck is passing with no light. You know, this is dust. This is dust on your feet. It's gathering. It's gathering. So Jesus now says simply, you're a good Christian, I know, but we need to wash your feet. Wash all this dust you have gathered on the road. So, you want to poison my mind? I cleanse it. Wash with the washing of water by the word. Are you getting my point? Yes. Well, that's what we do. We fill our hearts so that we magnify. We're back to it. Let us exalt his name together. You've gone to a man telling you that there's no country called Nigeria. He said it is just Lord Lugard's girlfriend. Is it Lord Lugard's girlfriend? Or is it Mary Slessor? Anyway, Lord Lugard's wife, sister, what's her name now? Florence Nightingale. No, that's the nurse. Huh? Flora Shaw. Whatever. He said she just woke up and said that, just give it Nigeria. Is the Lord Lugard's mistress that named this country. It cannot be. God, something's wrong with you. You don't know that God rules in the affairs of men. He does. He does. Somebody has told me that I will come and preach to you that God is in charge. He sets in times, he sets seasons, he sets epochs. He makes kings, he removes kings. Without that understanding in your heart, you cannot effectively pray for a country like Nigeria. If you come with that kind of mentality, Lord Lugard's girlfriend caused all this problem. Lord Lugard's girlfriend caused this problem. Lord Lugard, you'll be up all night praying, Nigeria. Nigeria, God is not hearing. Because he that comes to God must believe that he's in charge. You understand what I'm saying? You know what it means to praise? That's what praise is. I mean, that's why I'm not being critical. Jehovah Witnesses can't get healed by prayer. It's not possible. You know why? Because he that comes to God must believe that he's a current day healer. And they said, no, he only heals in millennium, in you know, when the kingdom will come later. That now you're supposed to learn how to die in peace. That you die in peace or in trouble, you die and I die. I don't want to die. One day I read that book. I want my family. He had HIV, AIDS. He got from blood transfusion. He's a Christian. He wrote the book on how he died nicely. So, the person who lent me the book, I returned it to her. So, did you enjoy it? I said, no. He said, what? You expected to be him to be healed? I said, yes, yes. You want to hear it? Yes. That's why I borrowed it. He has not encouraged me. I knew he was going to die. Why did I spend all that time to learn that he died? What hope has he given me? He should be careful himself. He should be very, very careful. If you write that kind of book again, then it's just that he can't write it again. And she said, no, no. I said, what's wrong with you? I said, yes, that's exactly what I expect. I went to the bookshop once. I saw a book. I looked for books. Childless but not less. How Christians can cope with childlessness. Get away, my friend. Come on, Ross. This is this. You are age of 75. They couldn't preach to Abraham. You want to preach it to me? I was about 30 years old or something. You want to preach it to me? This is the kind of trouble. And there are some truth in it. I don't need that kind of truth. I don't. I want Jackie Mises. Yes, I want that one. Supernatural childbirth. I like that one. I love that one. He that comes to God must believe that he is. He must believe that he is the healer and he heals people. Do you get what I'm saying? It is unto you according to your faith. So praise is not about whining God. No. So that you could go over and say, that boy can praise me. Next time he comes near my throne, I could just be happy. I could just be happy. I think it's my point. That is not God. What is praise? Praise is that I recognize
the position of God relative to the matter at hand. And I declare it. When there's kidnapping, there's everything, I wake up and say, he's my strong tower, he's my refuge, my God, and I will never be moved. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's it. That's it. That's the praise of God. That's the praise of God. That is, in every situation, he has a name he bears. And how do we praise him? We call him by that name. He said, the humble will hear it and they will rejoice. That's why, listen, economy, the economic situation of the country, God has a name he bears in it. And I'm so glad I discovered that name long ago. I thank God for people like Bishop David Oyedepo, people like Kennedy Hagin, who taught, I mean, many messages I heard here and there that showed me the name of God in the midst of economic tightness. He's a God, you know the way he said, who delights in the prosperity of his servants. That's his name. He's a God who those who follow him will never lack anything good. That's his name. He's the God that causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That's his name. You are getting my point? That's what praise is. That's what praise is. So, you see, this is my experience. In most churches, praise leader is the person who can sing. If you're a pastor, forget that thing. That should be a song leader. That's not a praise leader. Listen, I know what I'm saying. I was a campus fellowship president when I was on campus, right? So I've led people in church where I can make decisions, and you can sing was never the reason why I put it in front. I put you in front because you can exhort people. This is my own personal, this is just by the way, for those who are in ministry, listen to this. Praise should be led by somebody who has the ability to exhort. There is he that exhorts. It's in the scriptures, Romans chapter 5, 12. Is it 12 or 13? Anyway. Is a person who can exhort. That's what I found out. It's not about just giving a canary, you know, a bird, microphone. I just want to be where you are. The girl doesn't go anywhere where God is. She just can sing. That's what, I'm sorry, most of the things we do in church. Now just, you know, praise school. You know, there's disco, there's praise school. Just the jam. Hey, we got to dance. The dressing is good. Just the bubble. My experience, you want to see better praise, give that mic to somebody who knows how to exhort and tell people about the power of God. Then let him be backed up by those who can sing. Have you ever seen can crack do more than shout? What do you say now? What do you say now? Eh? Say that again. George, house. Then the girls will be singing. Huh? Fingers are then, say, say that again. Oh, he did. What did he do for you? that's what I'm talking about. The guy woman is not singing with anybody. Also, once he picks one tune, the whole thing goes scatter. Yet, he's always Kirk Franklin in front. Tell church, you know, listen, as a pastor, don't look for those who can sing. Look for those who understand God and who can talk about him. Give them the microphone. Then they will grab the mic and say, hallelujah. Isn't God good? He woke us up this morning in the midst of all these troubles of life. He's keeping us strong. As he's talking like that, without any good reason, people are waving their hands and they are jumping into the air and they are happy and they are praising God. You cannot give somebody a microphone behind. Stay for back. May they sing the song. We'll go the flow. Yeah, that's my understanding. That's what I've always practiced. I've always believed. Leading praise in church is not about who can sing. That is why all you see. This is the problem we have. A lot of musicians, this way they see outside where they misbehave. A lot of them, they used to be in choir in church. They were in front. Let a man who really believes in God, let him be in front. But you got what I'm going to explain. Praise is recognizing the name, the power of God relative to the situation on ground
and calling him by that name and boasting and rejoicing in that name.